listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of Mulberry.
Next. Psychology major, right? Hey, let me tell you something. I love my mother, but not as much as you guys say I do. Hey, well, check out my head size. You think it needs to be shrunk? Next. Hey, break a leg. No, do me a favor. Break two. You're a history of consciousness major, right? Next.
You know, you got me waiting in line here 10 minutes while you're telling jokes.
Well, let's move it right along then, shall we? Name?
Freeman. Jack.
Ooh. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I can't let you graduate with a bad haircut, man. Next.
Just kidding. I had already had you marked up. Welcome to the real world, Jack. And you know what? Hey, I really like that hate t-shirt. The whole angry young man, black thing, generation. You know what I mean? It's cool.
Yeah, it's the name of a comic book. Can I borrow your pen one second?
Absolutely.
Happy now, cocksucker?
Next.
There's a murder. It was poison. Take him down to Quincy. He will cut him open. He will know what killed him instantly. He works with a Japanese guy who looks in the microscope a lot. Watch those cops pass out. He used to be Oscar. He lived with Felix Unger. I think he was best on Twilight Zone. In the Quincy theme song, there's this really cool jazz part. Here it comes. Quincy is just ending, but oh boy, the show on next is Barnaby Jones.
I'm burning for you.
I smell bacon.
Well, it wouldn't be morning in the Hickey household without fresh cooked bacon from Paris.
Paris, France?
Oh, silly. Paris Hilton. That's hot.
Randy, what are you doing?
I told Paris I'm a cowboy.
That's hot.
Well, it's off to work. Big meet with the boss today.
Bye, sweetie. That's hot.
This is fantastic. Kind of smoky and spicy.
It's smoked jalapeno pepper. Chipotle.
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 Gracias. Hasta luego.
Grazie to Lalo. Lalo.
Just go.
You know, I just felt like, you know, it didn't matter if I was there or not. You know, you looked at me and you're all, hi, Teresa. And I'm all, what? Like, you weren't even glad to see me. And Danielle's all, what's with you and Doug? And I'm all, why do you ask? And she's all, well, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like you guys are talking. It, this always happens when we're at parties.
It's not. I don't do the hugging, kissing, public display of affection thing. It's something that should be better kept in private.
I mean, it just makes me feel like you don't even care, you know?
What? Because I am not actively showing you my adoration.
Yeah.
And
excuse me.
What?
Would you guys mind just shutting up? Keep your pathetic little relationship to yourselves?
Hello.
I can choose.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, good. Because I'm not going to forget about this, okay? Hey. Why don't you mind your own business?
Chick, you're making it my business, okay?
Chick. So I'm a chick now. Okay.
Teresa.
Who do you think... Doug, who do you think you are telling people what to do?
Listen, I don't want to hear your dirty laundry, okay? I think I speak for everyone here, am I right? Keep it to yourself.
You know what? You don't speak for me.
And
you don't tell me what to do.
Just ride the bus. How hard is that? Look out the windows. Keep to yourself, all right? Just shut up.
What the hell is going on back there?
You know, you are so lucky I don't know karate.
So lucky.
All right, settle down, Doug.
All right, this had better be good. What seems to be the problem here, miss?
He called me chick.
A chick?
Mm-hmm.
Not on my bus. All right, let's go, mister. You're off. You're out of here. Come on.
What?
Come on, you heard me. You may be able to get away with that kind of language, maybe on the 2, maybe on the 7, but not on the 3.
Thank you. Welcome to Rancho, where the stars shine bright and the moon goes down so it won't be hit by the stars.
Woohoo! Hey, everybody! It's Friday. Time for Nowhere in Mulberry. Live! Right here on Talk Radio X. It's Friday, Stephen.
No way.
It is Friday. Stephen, the pop culture's on. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, good. The week's going too fast.
Yes, way too fast. It's here and gone just like that, and we're back again, ready to talk film, television, pop culture, DVDs, TiVo, cult news, etc., etc.
We also shouldn't it be the weekend that goes too fast, not the week?
Yeah. But, you know, that's good.
Well, it all goes. I said the week.
We
not
love,
just the weekend.
We love doing the show so much, guys. We love it so much. We're glad that it's back.
You get older, everything goes by
okay.
So fast.
I get it now. Sorry.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm fine. How are you?
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian I'm talking to, by the way. And I'm the J-Strom, and here's Steven.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, my radio voice.
You guys know what's going on right now during our show, right? The premiere of Battlestar Galactica starts the same time as our show, so we can't watch it. And
I thought it premiered at 9.
No, it premieres right now. And
at 10 Eastern.
We live in a world where DVRs, TiVos have not been invented, so there's no way to watch
it. No!
I think we should bitch and moan and get a new time slot.
I know. Remember like when it was on Sunday? We used to complain it was on Sunday, and it was the same thing where we couldn't watch it before the show. But now it's like the same exact time. We used to do the show on Saturday, and then we would have seen it. So we need to move to Saturdays, guys.
That's
all
there
is to it. Back to Saturday. But
it's a plan.
You know, a show. I mean, I'm really excited to watch Battlestar Galactica again because it's been like 2 years since the finale. I think it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Four. It seems like forever.
4 years, yeah. But, Steven, just so you know, Friday Night Lights is definitely a go. It will be back for Season 3. It will show on DirecTV first, and then it will show on NBC, which is kind of strange. I don't care. I'll watch
Doesn't
it
matter.
Wherever it comes on.
Yeah, I thought it would be the other way around, but...
And the reason I bring up Friday Night Lights is, remember the first season we were always talking about how this is basically the Battlestar Galactica of football, small town type of
right.
thing. I mean, it really felt...
A small town America. Not even just football. Just small town America.
Where I feel that Battlestar Galactica Season 1 was like perfect season of television, Friday Night Lights is the most perfect season of television I think I've ever seen. And they have so many similarities. Both have a character named Six, when you think about it. Huh? Do you know who I'm talking about on Friday Night Lights? Six? Jason
huh?
Street? Riggins is always calling him Six, right?
That's a stretch, dude.
They both have shaky cam, which I'm a huge fan of, Steven.
Yeah.
A shaky mic, too. Oh, shit.
Watch out.
Anyway, yeah, I'm really glad that Friday Night Lights is coming back for at least a season 3. I mean, didn't they do that with that?
They just need to wrap it. If they're going to end it, they need to have an ending.
That's what I'm saying. It's 13-episode order. Just wrap it up. I don't think it'll be back again. Like, Bill, I was going to say Passions, that weird-ass sci-fi type.
I can't even believe you would lump those two in the same category.
No, what I'm saying is they did the similar deal with NBC and DirecTV.
Well, actually, I don't think it had anything to do with NBC. I think NBC canceled it and DirecTV just picked it up.
Oh, okay. But did it come back for one season and then it was canceled? Or
I don't know how long it lasted, but I know it just recently got canceled.
Oh, okay. So I'm just saying that, I mean, when you have a weird deal like that, something I've never heard of, I'd love if it succeeded and they were like, this is great. DirecTV wants us to do another season and keeps going, but it almost feels like it's an experiment there. How does DirecTV even get ratings from it, is what I'm saying. How do they know it's
succeeds? I guess by purchases, right?
Yeah, well, no, I think they know how many people are tuned into the channel
and they're
because it
people...
gets, you know, they get that feedback information at the station or at the main hub or whatever.
Okay, are they hoping people will be like, I can't wait till it comes on NBC, I'm getting DirecTV, and they basically subscribe?
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, that's cool. I hope it succeeds.
I hope it works for them.
Before we go any further, I want to wish happy birthday to my father-in-law, Jim. It's his 61st birthday. Happy birthday to you, sir.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
You know, I just looked for an excuse to play this, right?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, buddy.
At least it's not the the Beatles song. God, I hated that.
Yeah, I need to do that. Get the Anthony Michael Hall clip.
Yeah, the Anthony Michael Hall version.
Yeah. We can't play the actual happy birthday songs because then we'll have
I wonder if Morning Zoo Radio still plays that stupid song.
Have you guys ever heard that? The royalties?
Yes.
The original happy birthday song, someone owns the royalties. Whenever they use it on TV, they have to pay to use the song. That's why there's different birthday versions. Like, my daughter recently had a birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. They don't sing that song. They sing happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday. It just, like, goes on forever, and you feel like your head's going to explode. It's like, there's only two words in this song. Happy, happy,
that's
happy
so bizarre.
Birthday, happy birthday.
I mean, how would they know if they sang it at Chuck E. Cheese in Arlington,
what?
Texas?
I don't want to go on a rant here.
Are
but,
you sure that the happy birthday song isn't public domain?
No,
I'm positive.
Yeah, it is.
That's why in movies, a lot of times they sing an alternate birthday. Like, for instance, there, Simon Pegg is singing that version probably because they didn't want to have to pay for it.
Happy birthday
to you. I think this should be adopted as the
new happy birthday song.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
And my next birthday, I want people to sing this.
Happy birthday.
Because maybe Simon Pegg could copyright it and he could get paid for that. Because have you heard this, Bill, that Mick G or what's his name? McGinty?
Yes. Yes, it is McGinty.
Bill and I, Steven, I hope you're along with this. We will never say Mick G again, okay?
Okay.
That, we're going to say his real name.
McGinty.
Because we're not going along with that. His name is Ralph McGinty or something like that.
The guy who directed the Charlie's Angels movie.
But we're not following along with that. No, call me Mick G. No. We're calling you by your real name. No,
Jason, right. I just got a request in the chat room for you to say happy birthday again.
Oh, really? Happy birthday to Jim from Nowhere I'm All Married.
Happy birthday to you.
Steven,
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Come on, Steven, on key, sir. Hey, we're paying a lot of royalties tonight. But the reason I bring this up is because McGinty, who directed, what the hell is his first name, Bill? Chauncey McGinty?
Chauncey. That would be good anyway. Let's leave it at that.
Chauncey McGinty wants to remake Spaced, the great British sitcom by Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Jessica Stevenson, who's now changed her name because she got married. He wants to remake that using none of them, not paying them any royalties or anything, just taking the idea and making it for American television.
No.
And Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, has pretty much disowned this. They're like, he never called us and asked us anything. So I'm saying everything.
Well, what sucks even more is after Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines said something like, how dare he do this without talking to us, then he decided to call them.
Right.
And it's like, you know, too little too late there, bub.
Now let me. If you
Joey McGinty.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't they have the rights to that, right?
I don't know how it works
in England.
When they made it, they signed all rights away.
See, it's different.
So it's owned by the BBC.
No, here's the thing that sucks.
Channel 4. Yeah.
If you BBC were to watch Spaced, I don't go away thinking, what a great idea for a show. I think, man, those people are talented. I'd love to get involved with them and maybe bring that
continue
stateside.
On.
What the idea is just people living in a flat together. You know what I'm saying? They're, it's two...
Even if you didn't use them, use them. Use them as your riders.
Right. It's an apartment building. Do they think a professional couple only can rent it? So these two friends, Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines now, you said, Bill?
Yes.
They decide to pretend to be a couple and get this apartment. Once they're there, they meet the people who live there, the quirky, odd goings-on, and it's fun, and there's pop culture references and all that. But I don't understand why... You know, old McGinty there, he's like, hey, I want to remake that in America, but I'm going to cast, you know...
I mean, it's all fine if he got, you know, if he went to them.
Guy from the OC or something. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to you not to involve the...
I'm completely boycotting anything Joey McGinty involved. I will no longer watch Chuck... I won't, you know,
hey,
I don't
like
want
Chuck.
Anything to
Damn.
Do with anything that involves him.
Now, hey, wait, is that more of a Joe McGinty show, or is it more of the guy
he just produces
who,
that.
Who created
he's,
the OC show?
Well, he's doing the same thing here. He's just producing it. He directed the first episode of it.
God, what's the name of the guy who created the OC, Steven?
Josh Schwartz?
Yeah, Josh Schwartz. That's more, I think it's more Josh Schwartz's show. Not mixed spaced, as they're calling it. They've dubbed it mixed spaced online. There's as much controversy as this is with fanboys, where we talked last week. There's a lot of fanboys.
Well, fanboys probably sucks ass. So.
Yeah, but
at least we know that Spaced is awesome, and that they want to turn something classic into.
If there was ever anything that has to do with Spaced come out again, I'd want it to be the creators make it like. Space season 3 were in their 30s or something.
Yeah, I would want a third series with, you know, like they teased it in one of the specials on the UK DVD where Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines went to the original house.
Right.
And they were standing outside of it.
Why do I have to call her married names? Her name is Jessica Stevenson when she made the show.
Well, I think she was married then. She just didn't use the name because she was pregnant during the first series, during the first shoot.
Right. So, that's what we should tell people now is that Spaced is coming out on DVD here in America, I believe, when, Bill? Like June?
I'm
sure we'll cover it in DVDs, but they've done a whole new set of commentaries.
Awesome.
You gotta buy it.
Oh. Yeah, I'm psyched for that. I can't wait to hear the new commentaries.
That's really awesome and cool. And I can't wait to see that. And so everybody boycott Mixed Spaced.
I hope they use the same box art, like the take on Star Wars.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I love the show. It's great. What do you guys say we check out some entertainment? Let's check it out, Steven. It'll be great. Okay. Now, not many people know that we actually have a movie coming out today in theaters. Nim's Island, that's actually our movie, and I hope everyone enjoys it. We cast, the great, fantastic Jodie Foster. The guy from 300 is in it. The little girl from Little Miss Sunshine's in it. I really should learn their names, Steven. I'm sorry.
Abigail Breslin.
Abigail Breslin. Yeah.
what about the guy from 300? What's his name?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, Gerard Butler, the singer.
Jerry.
Singer to Psychedelic Furs, I believe. Wait,
no, that would be his brother, the guitarist. Oh, it's Richard Butler.
Richard Butler. Whoa! Jesus. Hey, warn me we're going to do that, Foggy. Good
Ready
Lord.
And pain.
As in Shay, pretty and pain. Yeah, I love that song. Good times, you guys. Okay, you know, another movie that's coming out, I don't know anything about Nim's Island. It looks like a cute flick, but The Ruins, this new horror movie where it looks like some teens decide, hey, let's go visit these ancient Mayan temples, and it'll be fun, and let's be in bikinis and stuff. Uh-oh, danger's lurking there, and they're all screwed. And I've read quite a few reviews of this, Bill and Steven, my co-host, and our audience. Hey, how's it going, Nim Chat? that the trailers, the commercials on TV, do not do this film justice. They're marketing at the dumb teenager crowd, when actually people are saying it's a really well-made film, and it's genuinely not only has a gore factor that's pretty high, it's also very disturbing and scary. Nice. And people who have been in the theater to see it are not ready for it. They expect it's going to be another Turistas.
Teenage romp. They expect Turistas
with the guy from Las Vegas. What's
Turistas?
His name? Turistas? Remember that film?
I like baristas better. People that are attacked by coffee.
Yes, bikini baristas. No, but Josh Duhamel started in that. But anyway, I'm getting off base here. But anyway, this film looks very interesting. It was based on a book that, Bill, you're going to review for the show. You're going to read it.
Okay.
And tell me about it. Hey, we don't talk about books enough.
I know the guy that wrote The Ruins. He also wrote A Simple Plan that Bill Paxton.
Oh, okay. Scott. I know his name has Scott in it. Damn. Scott McGinty. That's it.
Yes.
Otherwise known as McG. No, he's everywhere. But that looks very interesting, too. Got to check it out. And
I'll tell you what, though. The Ruins only has a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what I'm saying.
The reviews I've read of it, if you check out Ain't It Cool News, all those fanboys, they dig it. All those people type stuff.
Well, then I'd probably like it because I disagree with most reviewers.
Right. I mean, well, I think usually I just go by my gut. Like, if I see the commercial, I'm like, yeah, I want to see that. Nim's Island, DVD. I know instantly. Superhero movie? No, never.
If it has talking animals, it's a rental.
Right. Bill, your audio sounded like you were in a bathroom for a second.
Oh, really? Sorry. Am I okay?
Yeah, sure. You're fine. It just kind of echoed for a second. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, also, is it next week or the week after, Stephen, that the new Judd Apatow / whatever, Forgetting Sarah Marshall comes out? I can't wait to see that.
The one involved, is that Jason Segel that's involved in that?
Yes, and he co-wrote the script. It looks genuinely funny. It's got Veronica Mars, and it's got our favorite guy in it from Superbad, Bill.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
What's that actor's name? I'm blanking on everything. Isn't it McG is his name? Yeah, thank you very much.
No, it's what the hell? Jonah Hill.
Yeah, Jonah Hill. We all know that Bill's a good... You know what? I joke about that. Bill, I say Bill's a big fan of him, but I love the film Superbad. I think it's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
He gets old in the movie where you're saying to yourself, dude, just shut up, like, to Jonah Hill's character, because he never stops. He never just shuts up, you know what I mean?
It's pretty much his personality, too.
Yeah, he's like that everywhere.
You guys know a guy named Jimmy?
I've told you about that commentary on Accepted that he was in with Justin Long. It is so funny to see Lewis Black just absolutely pissed at him, like you were an asshole.
No, what is it? A video commentary? Do you see?
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
all sitting on those director's chairs watching the movie, and every time he makes a dumb comment, friggin' Lewis Black just shoots him the stink eye.
Oh, I got it. I'm going to check this out because you told me about it so many times. I'm going to check it out. And I want you to check out the Gremlins commentary with Joe Dante.
I have. Very funny.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
There's this great story. Really? They don't want to hear that.
Yeah, Joe Dante cuts off Zach Galligan mid-sentence, and it becomes, he's like, well, there's this great story. I think everyone should know it this morning. And he's like, no, 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 no. Nobody wants to hear that.
It's like, I just thought of a segment for us on the show. Most awkward DVD commentary moments.
Yeah, and we play it on there. Why don't you... What am I talking about? Let's check out what's on our team.
Why don't I want...
Guys, I've been drinking before the show, I have to admit. I had a couple shots.
Of Hawaiian Punch.
Yes. Let's check out what's on our team. Now, you guys all know about the politician guy that was sleeping with a high-priced hooker.
Yes.
Or a call girl. What's the chick's name, Bill? Something McGinty?
Yes. Susie McGinty.
Well,
McGinty.
The View had her ex-pimp on their show to talk about her. Why, I don't know.
Was it Dawn the Magic Wand?
Yeah. No, it's PimpBop 5000. But Whoopi decided to call this pimp out.
First of all, she's not a supermodel or anything. She's 5'4". She might be 5'3".
She had a boob job. She has a nice tush. She's a classy little girl.
Sassy.
Very pretty, sassy. Beautiful. She works.
What if the girl is not that beautiful, but we'll do whatever you guys ask? Is that okay?
I mean, I had a culture of greatness at New York Confidential. Anything I do, I try to be the best at. Maybe I wasted my talent and efforts in an area that we don't
Why
all respect.
Why are you applying, Joy?
I'm fixing it. I'm growing up. I'm 41.
You're turning your life around, and yet you have been taking yourself out on the television shows, talking about what you were and how you knew this girl. And to me, it's you're still pimping her.
Right.
It's the same thing. There's so for me, I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right, Whoopi.
Creepy.
Sexy.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, Sherry Shepherd, the other black lady on the
View stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because I got to play this. This lady's insane. Sherry Shepherd was on Leno. And she was following David Beckham, who we all know is hot as hell. This guy is sexy, Steven. I don't know if you knew that. But
I didn't know.
Hot. And,
glad to know that, though.
Yeah. But anyway, Sherry Shepherd comes out, and she can't contain herself. She can't conduct the interview because she's falling all over David Beckham. Let's check it out.
You know, the show is only about another 20 minutes.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm sorry.
You seem so more enthusiastic to see this.
Well, you know, this... Ooh, you are fine. Ooh. I think I'm pregnant right now.
Huh?
You know the world's flat, David.
She's spontaneously getting pregnant just by looking at her.
I just had immaculate conception.
I saw that photo shoot. You know, I took his the little photo shoot in W, and I cut out your wife's face, and I put my face on that.
That's
and I'm
creepy.
Gonna tell you that picture that we took on the bed. That
creepy
was
sexy. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, don't you think David Beckham was like, get me off the show now?
I was like, yes. Yeah, why did I agree to stay throughout the rest?
Why
of
am I on American talk show? This is stupid.
I play soccer. I play football. What am I doing here? Now, guys, I just want to warn you that this was a slow show week. We don't have Smallville. We don't have Lost. We don't have Battlestar Galactica yet. We do have Big Brother, and we do have the premiere of Hell's Kitchen. We will be talking about that. But to fill time, we got to cover some more talk shows. Ava Longoria was on Jimmy Kimmel. Let's check it out. Oh, jeez. Just foggy.
You actually brought tacos to the paparazzi,
yeah.
Which I don't think is a good... It's like feeding pigeons.
Whoa, no, scary laugh.
Wow, that's the laugh.
This is an evil plan.
Still so that one, on the show?
A celebrity could sneak in the back while you were distracting them with tacos?
I did,
is that a deal killer
a
for you, Steven, that laugh?
Deal killer. And she's like, I want to go, I just don't feel the paparazzi tonight.
Can I mention that it's Cameron Diaz?
No, I'm not saying who
okay,
it was.
Okay, well, let's not say who it is.
Now, Steven, Diaz means 10 in Spanish, I believe.
Was like, I go, you go in the back, I'll go out the front and distract him.
Did you like that?
Hammer 10?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'll take them tacos. So sure enough, I go out the front
door. Is that
like Ben
10?
Awesome.
She went right in the back.
She has
and then we did the same thing on the way out. But I brought out churros instead, the dessert.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They're going to start flocking to your place.
They're going to get chimichanga,
bitch. Yeah, I don't think that was a good time.
They're
going to
start
ordering.
Oh, my God.
Well, they killed Eva.
Okay, well,
I'm sad I missed that. Was that someone from the audience?
Yeah, and what's even better is after Ava left, Tracy Morgan came on to talk about his alcoholism. Let's check it out.
God.
Have you quit drinking? Are you genuinely sober?
I'm...
Steven, are you sober right now?
Do I have to be?
Yes, man.
No?
Yes.
You drunk?
I'm done.
You can be lit if you want.
I
prefer to be sauced.
Right? Yeah, I got a corona.
Fortunately,
it's water.
It's water.
You should be back.
Look, it is water.
Told you.
You're right. Wow, you're on water now.
Yeah, I'm on water, man.
Now you have no excuse for being so crazy.
No, I'm just chilling out, man.
Yeah,
pardon me. Yeah, I'm good.
You're good. Good.
Yeah, I'm glad I stopped drinking.
You are.
Am I missing something here?
DUIs?
Yeah,
come on, that showed up on CNN.
I think the whole point is that he's drunk.
I, put that
I don't know.
Did anybody even know he was drinking? You know, I mean, paparazzi's not taking pictures of him.
I heard that he had to wear a bracelet that detected alcohol. That's how bad his alcohol is.
I don't doubt that at all.
He just said he had two DUIs, but it was covered by CNN.
Yeah. It's you know it's bad when CNN is covering you getting a DUI. Slow news.
It's like not TMZ, but CNN.
You know, George Clooney has a new movie called Leatherheads coming out today. He directed it. It looks like an old-timey football-type comedy where they talk real fast, like Grant Gabriel. It looks great. And one thing that, that we know what Clooney does better than head-bobbing and smiling is that he can spin a yarn, as they say, Stephen. Let's check it out.
I drove out my 76 Monte Carlo. It's a fine car. Rust all over it. And I drove it out from Kentucky, from Augusta, Kentucky, to Los Angeles, California, right. The big city.
First reactions when you got there?
Well, it was pretty, you know, I didn't understand Los Angeles, right. Really. I'd been there once before.
Spit it out, George.
And I remember, you know, I could drive around in my Monte Carlo and people really didn't think it was cool, you know, in California.
El Camino, sorry.
It seemed cool to me. My cousin had a Porsche and I was riding a Porsche. I'd never been in a Porsche before. And we drive up and we stop at an intersection. At that time, they had
George Clooney drunk
ladies of the evening on every corner, several of them.
Or does he need to burp? He needs to burp.
If you pull up in a Porsche, apparently that
he can't tell his story verbally, but he can on
So we pulled
film.
Up, we stopped at the stoplight, and all these girls came up to the window, and they're like, hey, you want a party? And I was like, I am on fire in this town.
Now, let me replay that clip the way my brain heard it. I heard it a certain way, and this is all I could hear, and it kind of annoyed me.
It was pretty, they had, hey, you want a party?
It's better that way.
Great, it's like Spicoli.
Do you guys remember that guy Chiquizzi last week on American Idol?
Yes.
Chiquizzi got voted off American Idol, and we were talking about what a crazy name that was.
He was on the Jeffersons, right?
Chiquizzi? Or is that Wheezy?
Oh. I thought it was Chiquizzi that was on a Jefferson.
Oh, Chiquizzi. Well, Chiquizzi was on Ellen. Let's check it out, and it's great. I just like hearing his name, so.
Now, Chiquizzi is a name,
that
didn't come easy to Simon. He called you Jacuzzi at one point.
Yeah, I honestly believe that he purposely did that because I had auditioned for the show before last year, and for throughout our two-year relationship, he has never mispronounced my name.
Yeah.
And finally, at one time, he forgets. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something else to that.
Yeah, maybe he was just playing with you, but now everybody knows Chiquizzi. They know your name.
Chipotle.
Well, that's what's so funny. I had to go back and see this clip of Simon saying his name wrong, and let's check it out.
Now, Chiquizzi is a name didn't come easy to Simon. He called you Jacuzzi at one point.
Chiplotle?
Chiquizzi.
Chiplotle.
Chiquizzi.
Chipotle.
Chiquizzi.
Chipotle.
Grazie to Lalo with Lalo.
So, that's how you say his name. We've been saying it wrong the whole time.
Chipotle.
It's actually... Chipotle.
Exactly. Wow. That's great.
Oh, excellent use of the Jack in the Box commercial.
I love it.
Chipotle.
I pronounce Chipotle like that just for the hell of it after that commercial. Now, last week, Top Model was fantastic.
So if I go to Jack in the Box and ask for a
Chipotle?
Chiquizzi burger?
Yeah, Chiquizzi.
They'll give me one with the Chipotle on it?
That guy needs to sell the rights to his name. Now, last week, I don't know if you know this, Stephen, but Talk Radio X does a TRX Weekly Report podcast. Our clip from America's Top Model that we did on the show was the clip of the week.
Sweet.
And not to outdo ourselves, we could never do that, could we?
No.
Rock of Love has bitches fighting again. Let's do it.
I talked to Brett about it. Obviously not enough because he's questioning you tonight at dinner. Me? And that's taken away from my time. And I'm sick of people taking away from my time.
No, I'm sorry.
And you should have more to talk about with him then. You.
You're fighting over washed up rocker.
I have dealt with Chrissy Joe for so long. And once Chrissy Joe has left, now I'm dealing with Daisy's and it's infringing on my time. And that is
the guy wears makeup for Christ's sake.
What
there's time infringement going on here.
Listen, you think you're better friend than fine. Listen,
you're not going to be with my friend. When you live here, don't roll your eyes at me. You live with your ex-boyfriend. You guys have goo goo gaga eyes.
How do you know that?
Because
I'm goo gaga eyes over here.
I'm sick.
But why the
goo goo gaga?
I'm not going
to. They're reverting to.
Jesus.
is right.
All these chicks have guns in their purses or what?
That's the dangers of concealed carry.
They all have little 22 automatics in their purse. So what's great about that is they can't kill each other, but they could, you know, wound each other. You know, it breaks the skin.
Very tough to kill with the 22.
Now, Bill, are you watching Dancing with the Stars this year, this season?
Oh, am I ever.
Now, Steve Guttenberg was on the show.
Yes, he was. Mahoney, was on the show.
We love Mahoney. And
the Goot got the boot.
Yeah, the Goot got the boot, and here's a clip of it. It's very sad.
On this third week of competition, the couple with the lowest combined total and therefore leaving right now, Steve and Anna.
You know, I'm just going to miss seeing everybody all week, and I just love everyone, and I've had such a good time here. It's made me a better person.
I'm not being used to my ability.
Yes, exactly.
You know what's so bad about him on there? He had to be high the entire time because everything was love and everybody's wonderful and the world would be so much better if everybody danced. And
he looked like he was taking hits off of nitrous oxide. Like,
yeah, he was trying to say something, but they were running long, so they had to cut him off. So the next day on Good Morning America, they asked him what he was going to say, and he said that he was going to talk about how we need to pay more attention to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. I was like, what? Wasn't that like 4 years ago?
It's like, dude, come up with some new stuff, man.
I think he's still stuck in the 80s doing Police Academy
maybe
sequels.
Maybe he just didn't have TV time at the time of Katrina.
He and Michael
so
Winslow get together and still act out Police Academy. Yeah.
He's still in that hot air balloon with Sharon Stone at the end of Police Academy 3.
Now, Christy Yamaguchi is on the show, too. And one of the judges, he's gay, I think. Is he?
Bruno Tignoli.
He gets kind of creepy on her. Let's check it out.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Clean, clear, always delivered with extreme precision, more emotional engagement, lust. I want you to be a dirty girl. No, it's true. Release that. There is love for us to see, because technically you've got nothing to worry about.
Don't take his calls after the show, but his scores are available backstage right now. Hello! Hello!
Chippetople.
Shut up, Tom Bergeron.
I know, he is so irritated.
Go do the America's videos, bitch. All right, I believe Moment of Truth has had their season finale with Mark Wahlberg of Planet of the Apes, Tim Burton's Planet
too
of the Apes.
Too soon.
Well, they had to finish it up, though, with an inappropriate question. Let's check it out.
I know you want $100,000. I want to give you $100,000. There's an answer you could give to this question that could be devastating to your marriage.
Oh, dear.
I want it.
I don't agree with this question.
Your marriage. Question 13. Have you ever regretted marrying your husband?
Oh, that.
I know.
I think every married person would say yes.
Is there anything you want to say?
I love all the
background. I need your answer. Oh. Have you ever regretted marrying your husband?
Yes.
Oh.
That answer is...
smells like earwax.
True.
Yes, clap, audience, clap.
Steven, have you watched a single moment of this season of Moment of Truth?
No.
False.
Oh. Steven, why can't you just tell me you've been watching it?
I wish I had been.
Save face.
Now, Bill, are you still watching Big Brother?
Yes, I am.
There was this...
As much as I hate to, week after week.
It looks like the Crazy James, the guy with the pink mohawk. Do you remember last season, or even the season before, when the Will and Boogie, they seem like... It almost seems like the shows are being manipulated, so they get to stay in there.
Yes.
Little things happen, like last season, Evil Dick. It's just like, how is he still in the house? They wanted him out.
Yeah, it's not. It's hard to describe. It's, you know, that they are being pushed in certain directions by the producers, or the producers are having the psychiatrist that they talk to push them certain ways. But, I mean, it's obviously manipulated.
Yeah, it's not like they're outright saying, you need to do this. They're talking to them in the diary room, and they're saying...
Well, they're planting ideas.
Wouldn't it be better to work with James than be against him every week? And but anyway, James, now that Chelsea is gone, now Joshua is gone, he's all alone, and he's crying a lot, Bill. He's crying quite a bit. He can't handle these people hating him. So Sheila went in there, and she went to talk him up, saying, you're going to do good. You're going to win that veto. You're the best player in this game. The only reason people want you out is because they don't like you, because you're threatening to them, because you're a great player. And he's like, yeah, I'm all pumped up. So then what does he do is he hears her talking trash about him, like, minutes later to other people. And he was at a vulnerable time. You know, he was crying and sobbing to himself when she came and told him that. So he feels, like, really hurt and betrayed. So he lets her have it, man. He opens a can on her. Let's check it out.
What's going on? Because you came to me today.
Let me tell you.
And you pumped me up all day. You pumped me up in the sauna. You told me in the sauna that, hey, you're going to got this. I want you. I got you. I'm looking out for you.
It's true.
Well, you get out there with being a two-faced bitch. Okay, you go inside and you say something to my face. And then you go out there and you... Say something exactly different.
You didn't say you were going to put me up on the bucket until you...
I put you on the bucket because you voted against me. You promised that you would vote for me. You lied.
My God.
What the fuck are you doing to me? You're lying to me. And once again,
didn't lie to
you're
you.
Bothering me. I've been going in there too. You have my back.
I did.
You're looking out for me.
Should we go out there?
No, dude. This isn't your battle.
And you're going out here and you're blasting me.
Because
I heard you.
Me.
I heard you.
I never,
right in my
I
face.
Know.
And you know what? That's when you voted me out.
I think he has a gun.
Heard it. You're lying, two-faced bitch.
I'll say to your face. You talked about people buying their backs.
I was in your face.
Well, thank you for telling me that. Glad I know now. I'm glad I know now. Thank you.
Good Lord. So they even showed him later in the episode, he was hoarse. He couldn't talk anymore because he yelled at her so much. And what ended up happening is Adam won the HOH, and he... James cried so much to him. He was like, I can't put this guy on the block again. And he put up Sharon and Sheila. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. But I guess that.
So he,
I assume that.
But
so.
What he told James is he said, if one of them win the veto, I will put you up and you'll have no way of winning the POV. And he said, that's fine. Do what you got to do. So whatever's going on there, we'll see what happens. But let's go ahead and talk about Hell's Kitchen. That's what we really want to talk about. Am I right?
Yes.
That's what we want to talk about.
Now, more than anything.
Now, first of all, guys, Hell's Kitchen, tell me if they've ever done this. I haven't seen like the first, second or whatever season, but have they ever had this elaborate setup where the contestants arrive and Gordon Ramsay is in a disguise?
No, they haven't.
And I was telling, now, Bill, have you ever seen the movie Body Double?
I have, yes.
Do you remember the killer is in this elaborate long-haired costume with bad facial, like, latex?
Yes.
That Gordon Ramsay looks like the killer from Body Double in his disguise.
You're absolutely right. I thought he looked like Lenny from Motorhead. But...
yeah. Now, let's check this out, because it's just
the
ridiculous.
Longest intro ever.
By the way, the when they go, this season on Hell's Kitchen, the scene lasts forever. Just start the show already. Stop.
Yeah, they even... I love the part where they had Gordon Ramsay standing on, like, a podium. They circled around him, and then there was a flash, and they, like, overlaid a skeleton on him.
Yeah, what was that?
And... called him the Dark Lord, Gordon Ramsay.
It starts with like a narration like it's the night before Christmas.
Yeah, we thought that Danny Elfman was doing the sound.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, what?
Where's this coming from?
So anyway, all the contestants are riding on a bus, and Gordon Ramsay's sitting there in disguise, listening what they have to say. And one of the black guys said, I'm the black Gordon Ramsay. And, you know, they do that cut to Gordon Ramsay reacting. I want to ask you this, Bill. Why didn't anyone notice that the camera crew was getting shots of all of his reactions? This mysterious contestant there
they,
on the bus.
They think maybe he was just like a Hell's Kitchen roadie or something. Like, I don't.
Why do they keep getting reaction shots from that man of everything we're saying?
How come there's one too many of us to split us into even groups?
It's just ridiculous. Let's check it out.
I'm quite good in doing an impression of him.
One spaghetti, one risotto, one crab! What is this? No! It's overcooked!
This is Jean-Philippe. I like the music.
What about you? Could you very do a little whimsical impression of Gordon?
Where's the lamb sauce?
What?
What about you?
The lamb sauce.
Come on, where is it?
I think you're going to have to work on it. What about you, you big guy?
Jean-Philippe, it's time to open Hell's Kitchen.
Dan, he's doing it real good.
Come here, you donkey.
Wait a minute.
Stop! Shut it down.
I know that voice.
That's right. It's me.
Oh, my God. I was so surprised.
Oh, my God. They're shooting again. God, everyone's got guns on these shows. My favorite is the girl with her deduction of...
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. That guy sounds kind of like Gordon Ramsay. Could it be him?
Wait a minute.
I saw a body double. That guy's the guy who killed... Okay, so they always have... Is it just me or the guys always the morons on the show? They whittle
the guys
down,
are always morons.
The guys
on the
always
show
get whittled down first. They're before cocky, the women, yeah, right? There's this guy, and his name happens to be Jason on the show. And there's this great part where...
lots of good drops.
For instance... They're starting their little cooking thing, and they choose team leaders, and they're like, where's Jason at? Why is everyone here but Jason? Where the heck's Jason? And they keep showing him
sitting
outside
on the back porch smoking.
He's smoking, and he's like got his shoe off.
Digging something off his bottom of his bare foot.
Yeah, what the hell? Let's check it out.
Two scallops, one risotto, one Caesar salad.
As the orders start to come in, the pressure is on to get appetizers to the pass.
Where's Jason? Where is he on appetizers? Where is he? We're not even starting service with a full team. Where is he?
That's what I'm asking myself.
What's with the
Jason? Ribbon? What's he doing?
He was in a swamp?
Jason!
Hell's Kitchen was in the middle of us.
Jason was like a magician. He kind of disappeared. It's like, what the f*** are you thinking?
Can you get your ass down here, please?
Yes, chef.
Oh, my God.
I love the echo of him calling.
Jason! What's he doing? Jason! Jason! Jason!
What was that?
And those people that do that show are just freaking loony.
They've lost their minds with the production.
I don't know if it was like... this may have just been their editing, but after he called for him and he's looking for him, he comes out from being outside and he comes in with a pan in his hand like that's what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah,
it wasn't smoking. I was looking for a pan.
And Steven and I were wondering, did he wash his hands after picking at his feet?
No,
and
of course
smoking
not.
His cigarette.
He's probably picking his ass too.
Good
it was
Lord.
Like he was digging all the crap out from between his toes. It was like,
and he's supposed to be working on appetizers too. The first thing that goes out on the floor. What? I don't understand that. And I was asking Steven. They have a scene where this guy is asking Jean-Philippe, he goes, where's my food? I've been waiting forever. And he's like, all I can do is tell you.
Offer you a smile.
And he goes, oh, you're ridiculous or whatever.
You're
like,
useless.
Yeah, and I was like, Steven, was that a rehearsed scene right there? They're acting. There's no way that that's a real person, a patron. Yeah. That's a guy who's an actor. Why do they have
overacting
the show? But
at that?
This show doesn't even need the stupid customer reaction. No. They always do it every year. And
well, I mean, if it was honest customer reaction, fine.
Right, but it feels so manipulated and just ridiculous.
The production company is awful. They should really just drop them. It's
who
so
is it that makes it?
Over the top. They need to pay attention to the British version.
I do love
the British version is
the
just fine,
room.
And I can watch that all
there's
day long.
There's a British Hell's Kitchen?
Not Hell's Kitchen,
oh.
But, you know.
There has been.
Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare, but.
Right.
But essentially the same thing. I mean.
Well, Jason comes back to cook the appetizers. Let's see what happens. He seems like a very competent guy.
Right now, we are looking stupid.
Jason sucks. I could have ran the appetizers, cold salads, meats,
But, you know, I'm a nice guy. I didn't want to make them feel stupid.
Bobby, look at me. As long as you're sitting pretty, right? That's your game,
no,
isn't
no,
it?
No, 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 no. I just don't want to dig in over there. There's too many people.
How about a little vote of confidence, a little bit of support?
Isn't this
even
the
if Bobby didn't know what was going on, at
yeah,
least
the team leader.
In, scoot in your boot and try and get some done.
A little bit of cooking with the eyes, no?
Yes.
I love my boot scooting, Steven. But,
I didn't know your boot scooted in the kitchen.
Your boot.
Now, does the cocky guy ever win on the show? I was asking you.
No. Well, remember the first year, the little Mohawk guy, he was pretty cocky, and he won.
Oh, that. Speaking of Mohawk guy, there's a man-girl thing called Lou Ross on here. And I was asking Bill, I was asking you, is this a man or a woman? And we...
I thought you were joking.
No, I thought it was a lesbian. And I watched Steven watch it, and I go, is that a man or a woman, Steven? And you said...
It's a woman.
It's a woman. She's a lesbian. She's a butch lesbian. So they separate into the men and the women. What? What's the lesbian doing on the man side? It's because it's a man. It's a dude.
It's a man, baby.
Maybe it's like the guy that just, you know, maybe she's a transvestite.
I mean,
is it like Christian?
Yeah, it just
looks. Oh.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. That's not a guy. That's a... I still... It looks like a butch chick.
Yeah.
Why is Lou Ross in the woman's bathroom?
Yeah, Lou Ross. Lou Ross? What kind of name is that?
I know. L-O-U-R-O-S-S.
And what? Okay, how come all the chefs or all the contestants smoke cigarettes on the show? They always show them what if they're not out there getting their asses reamed, they're in the back all, you know, puffing
yeah,
smokes.
Yeah, that Chef Ramsay at the beginning asking that dude what he was smoking.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. The signature dishes. One guy had it was a
everything was tartar.
Out, it was a carved out pumpkin with a chicken in it.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious.
And he was like, "How do you present this?" And he goes, "You break it open." And it looks like some kind of alien egg or something.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It looked like the egg's an alien.
I know. He's like, "You break it open, and then you have a little pumpkin.
Then you serve it." Yeah.
And all of Gordon Ramsay just kind of pushes him here. Show me. We got all the time in the world, buddy.
Waiting for the face hugger to jump out of that like, gravy and latch onto Gordon Ramsay.
It up and it's like, but
I thought the one guy was hilarious, the stay-at-home dad that whipped out the chicken tetrazzini. I was like, what was there a bottle of chicken tonight in the pantry there? So just decided to toss it in the.
Was that
in
guy
the pan?
Not the biggest uber nerd you've ever
oh,
seen?
Oh my
what
god!
What about the
yeah.
guy that made the clams or mussels that were all minced, and then the venison that was. Tartar.
No, that was scallops. That was raw. That was raw scallops.
Oh yeah, we had
raw venison with quail egg in it.
We had a Gordon Ramsay puke session.
Yeah, we had a puke session.
Because
and he was genuinely Ralph and shit.
What was it? It also had white, dark chocolate or white chocolate.
White chocolate.
It was white chocolate,
grated with white chocolate on top.
What the hell? But the best was they had a chef with this big, gigantic, tall chef hat.
The midget, yeah.
And he goes, do you have little man syndrome?
No, what do you ask? He goes, what, are you small downstairs or something?
He said, you have little man syndrome downstairs.
Yeah. And I love the guy. He goes, take that hat off or I'll shove it up your ass sideways or whatever. And the guy goes,
yes.
He's like, I never go anywhere without that hat. And he's just all bummed out, like...
It's like, what did he said he was what, like 5'5 or 5'2?
Yeah, I'm a very short guy. And,
I
mean,
be
that's
the tallest
really not
guy
that
the
terribly
kitchen.
Short. That's below average.
You know, and I was telling Steven, I go, you know who that is? That's Eric from Entourage, is who he reminds me of.
And I said it was America's Player, Eric.
Yeah, from Big Brother. It's like...
That freaking hat was hilarious, though. I love the shot of him in the hat dragging his luggage across the walkway from the terminal at the airport.
Yeah, okay, I can understand. Okay, you're a chef, you wear it in the kitchen, but you wear it at the airport?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
He wears it on the plane.
You know what it was when he sent in his audition tape, he was wearing it, and they said,
and
hey.
Like, dude, you gotta wear that.
You gotta wear the hat.
It's like, wait, who?
Because he probably said in his audition tape, I don't go anywhere without my hat.
He's like, hello, America. I never go anywhere without this hat.
I'd love to have seen him on the airplane wearing that.
Hey, we have to bring
next week. We're going to have to call in and vote for him to spill his secrets to.
Spray mustard on Gordon Ramsay's apron.
Call Gordon Ramsay a tosser.
And you know when they were doing impressions, do these people even watch the show? It was horrible.
No.
I would have just...
Where's my lamb sauce?
You know, oh, come like, on. You effing donkey.
But yeah, it was
terrible. Jason! What's he doing? Jason!
Guy I liked the most on the show, though, was the big black guy, Bobby. And how Jason? He was appointed captain. And whenever they told him to be a captain, he's like, no, you guys are fine. Do what you got to do. Your typical, if I don't say anything, I can't be blamed for anything.
Right. And Gordon Ramsay's done the show enough to know that there's people who genuinely want to help, or there's people, I'm going to give you enough rope to hang yourself. So he's.
You would think that they would learn better. The show's been on for how long now?
That's what I say with Big Brother every year. Don't these people watch the show? Because everyone makes the same mistake. It's like same on Hell's Kitchen. Do you people not watch it? Like the guy who...
You know what? They half watch it probably.
Steve.
Huh? Now, Steven, the guy Jason, he's just got on Hell's Kitchen. It's the very first ever night where they open Hell's Kitchen. What is he going to choose to do? I'm going to go have a cigarette. That makes no sense to me.
Also, every year that we've watched it, what is one of the appetizers? Risotto. You should learn how to make a risotto before you even go on.
Or even, what is the chicken?
Yeah.
What kind of chicken was that? That the nerdy
Everything
guy?
Everything is always grilled.
What was the nerdy guy's name who eventually got kicked off the show?
I can't remember.
Well, he's the Uber geek. They showed him he was making this little chicken stuff, and they showed him he kind of was going back.
No, scallops.
He was making scallops, and he was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I go, Steven, watch this. In a second, they're going to show that shot again in a different context. They're going to use the same shot over again.
And it's just ridiculous. It's like he had an odd amount of scallops in his hand.
But, I mean, of course, we got to keep watching the show, but it's still at the same time, it's kind of ridiculous.
It is.
What do you guys say we take a break and we come back and we do some news? We open up the phone lines.
Certainly.
All right.
Be right back, everybody.
Talk Radio X.
Creepy.
Sexy.
Wednesday, if it's here, is extra.
So
it's part one of the two-night special.
No.
Then Beverly Hills Buns is back.
That's great.
And his partner's got a scheme that's going to bring down the house. And on St. Elsewhere, a medical miracle?
I'm pregnant.
Is there anything we can do?
Like what? Enroll him in Lamont?
Come home Wednesday.
The greatest hope against the threat of nuclear war is Superman.
I'm going to do what our governments have been unwilling or unable to do. Effective immediately, I'm going to rid our planet of all nuclear weapons.
The greatest threat to Superman is Lex Luthor.
Smarter than I thought. We can make the world safe for war profits.
He's created the ultimate weapon to annihilate the Man of Steel.
You'd risk worldwide nuclear war for your own personal financial gain. Nobody wants war. I just want to keep the threat alive.
Dude of Steel. Where are you going to get it?
You know you're a workaholic. Why don't you stop and smell the roses, huh?
Superman 4. Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman, Jackie Cooper, John Cryer, with Mariel Hemingway and Margot Kidder as Lois Lane. Superman 4. His most important adventure. The quest for peace.
You love to be all friends.
York, a city pushed to the edge. People pushed to the limit, and no one's gotten the guts to stop them.
It's collection time, Charlie.
3 murders, yeah. 4 rapes, 9 acts of random violence. This isn't a neighborhood, it's a war.
But there is one way, one man who won't be pushed. Charles Bronson.
What's the problem? Now you're going down.
It'll be just like before, Mr. Vigilante, with one important difference. You're going to work for me.
People have got to start to fight back and hard.
I sent them a message.
That's him.
I'll take care of him.
And now, he's in the middle of a war.
See what you've done? You got me mad.
In a world gone mad, there is only one law. His. Charles Bronson, Death Wish 3. Bronson's back in New York, bringing justice to the streets. Charles Bronson, Death Wish 3.
It was pretty hey, you want a party?
Oh, that Clooney, he's quite the crack up. Man, Bill, I don't know about you, but I want to watch Death Wish 3 right now. Was that not the perfect trailer? It's just like, I'm pumped up, man.
It's just like line explosion, line gunfire, line explosion.
I love where, whenever a narrator says, in a world gone mad, it's just sold, I'm there.
I love how they have to, what's going on?
Huh? What's going on? We having technical problems, Bill? Hello? Bill? Bill? What's going on, Steven?
I believe... I don't know.
Hey, Bill, what's going on, man? What are you leaving us hanging for? I want to know what your thoughts were on... Alright, well,
I love the gig.
Try to figure out what's going on. Just Foggy, cue up some music. Oh, there's Bill. What happened?
I don't know.
That was
it just dropped out. It was all staticky and everything. I don't know.
That was a Bill dropped out music right there.
Yes, that was.
And while you were gone, the giggler was killed, I'm afraid to say.
Oh, that's terrible.
They killed the giggler!
Yeah, that's
they didn't have to go and do that.
One day, I would love to have... Here's my dream. At Mulberry Night, all of our listeners, we all go see Death Wish 3 together. How great would that be?
I think we should just have a film festival.
That would be awesome.
Do it at the Alamo Draft House in Austin.
Antitrust, RoboCop 2, Death Wish 3, the guy who played... Fraker.
Yeah, and we'd have to have Tom Noonan there.
Yeah, Tom Noonan, the great Kane.
If we get Kane. Eddie Deason.
Yeah, we'd have to have Eddie Deason. We'd have to war game.
We'd have to show something with Eddie Deason, though.
Yeah, it'd have to be 1941.
You gotta get Clarence Boniger,
too. Clarence Boniger.
Kane!
I just got through watching that today.
What? The original?
Cop, yeah.
Which is better, awesome. Kane or Clarence Boniger?
Clarence, come on.
What the hell are you doing?
Waste makes haste, for time is fleeting. A rolling stone is worth 2 in the bush.
Go fuck a refrigerator, peck your neck!
Genius.
Oh, Frank Miller.
Now, we're going to open the phone lines at 818 935-5132. If you want to call and talk to us about Hell's Kitchen or anything like that, go ahead and do so. And we're going to start the news now. What do you say, Bill?
Sure.
No! Huh? What the hell's going on? All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Chipotle.
You shouldn't need that. Chipotle.
Besides Chipotle, what do we have in the news? Yeah,
you mentioned it once. The best part of that commercial is how the smile that's normally on the Jack in the Box guy is all squiggly lines.
Yeah, he just can't
trying to pronounce it.
I love that.
That is really a funny commercial.
Jack in the Chiquisi. I mean, Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Two men are behind bars accused of robbing a Benzie County gas station at gunpoint, but officers say it really wasn't a surprise. Deputies say hours before the armed robbery, the two gunmen warned the cashier that they were coming back and gave her a detailed plan of the crime.
What?
Yeah. Just after 3 o'clock Thursday morning, investigators say two men showed up at the Honor Shell gas station in Benzie County and robbed the clerk at gunpoint, but there's a twist to the story. Of course, the deputies say that they warned the cashier earlier. Undersheriff, is the undersheriff like?
It's kind of like the deputy, but he's sleeping with the sheriff. He's under him.
All right. Well, that makes okay. So like, Chris Lambert was the under Highlander to Sean Connery. Never mind. That was bad. That was really bad. Yeah, Undersheriff Roy Heckman says they're planning on coming back with the weapon, and they were going to rob her and wanted her to cooperate in exchange for money. Believing the clerk was on board, the two men returned with masks and guns 2 hours later, but what they didn't know is after they left, the clerk called deputies who immediately sprang into action. You have a gunman who says he has a BB gun, but who knows what he's got? What do you do? You let them get outside and make the stop.
Jeez.
Yes, they shot them dead on the scene. An Arlington, Texas man was critically injured Thursday night when he tried to roof surf atop a car traveling down the highway, police said.
So he was an idiot?
Yes. The identified man, 24, has life-threatening injuries after trying to climb out of a Scion XB.
Scion, God, hey.
Those are the ugliest cars ever made.
Which ones? The box ones or the small ones?
Yeah,
the
box ones. All of them. Do you need to pick which one's uglier? They're, like, equally ugly. So he fell from the car onto the highway, but was not struck by any vehicles. The man was transported to the hospital by helicopter. The accident remains under investigation. What's there to investigate? The guy's an idiot.
I know. I mean,
okay, you're a dumbass.
Wait, is it possible he just got done watching Teen Wolf?
I thought maybe he just got,
because there's a great montage there where Teen Wolf is up there surfing on the truck.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, they started the whole car surfing.
I blame Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox is to blame for ghost riding.
Yeah. But remember, he's the wolf, and he goes, "I don't think so, Styles. It's my turn." He gets up there. Oh, wow.
And this was in the first one, not Teen Wolf 2 with Jason Bateman.
Right. And I've never seen Teen Wolf 2, actually, because I'm such a fan of Teen Wolf 1. Two. Yeah.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
The Forest Service in Billings, Montana, has purchased a pair of flying drones to track down marijuana farmers operating in remote California woodlands.
We're smoking the reefer, and you don't want no part of this shit.
The Agriculture Undersecretary, there you go.
There's another I bet
I bet you he's under this Sean Connery.
This is a title we just weren't aware of before, I guess.
Yeah, Mark Ray, who oversees the Forest Service, tells the Associated Press the pilotless aircraft will allow agency law enforcement officers to pinpoint marijuana fields and size
I'm
up potential dangers. Okay, how much do you think each one of these drones cost?
I'm going to think in the $500,000 range.
It's $100,000 each for these drones.
Couldn't they get some of those air hog things and strap a camera to it?
Yeah, why not? One of those whirly birds?
Yeah, I mean, cameras are so tiny now, you stick an SD card in there, like, you know, 4 gigs, you get a couple of hours worth on there, wouldn't you? Just fly the air hog around.
Is marijuana that dangerous that they need to spend $200,000 of taxpayers' money to track down
dude.
Well, they're putting all those guys in jail.
Apparently,
so.
it's just a bad thing, I guess. I don't
marijuana is not a drug.
No, it's not, Bill.
All right, a woman
marijuana
who locked
is
her...
not a drug.
There we go.
I used to suck dick for coke.
Whoa! Well, we heard it from Bob Saget, so.
Nice. A woman who locked herself in a car's trunk calls 911 for rescue. After 22 years as a police officer, Newington Master Patrolman Leonard Caricus experienced a first Saturday when he was dispatched to help a woman who locked herself in the trunk of her Mustang.
What?
I'm glad I know now. Thank you.
Caricus said he took a March 29th call from the department's emergency dispatch center at 2:30 in the afternoon, reporting a 911 call from the unidentified woman who said she was locked inside the trunk of her red 1996 Mustang in the Fox Run Mall parking lot. The patrolman said he instructed the dispatcher to inform the woman there was probably an emergency release latch inside the trunk while he made his way over to the mall. I get down there, and I'm banging on the trunk, and she starts yelling. She says she has a hide-a key, and I find it and open the trunk. After freeing the woman, he said is in her 50s, he asked, "What did you do?" According to the Mustang owner, she tried to let herself in the car through the driver's side door, and when her key wouldn't work, she decided to enter through the trunk and crawl over the seats. The plan was foiled when she couldn't get through.
What?
I don't know how the trunk closed. You are an idiot.
What? That lady was lying. What the hell was really going on?
Two-faced bitch!
They asked the officer if there was a moral to the story, and he said, "Don't lock yourself in your trunk."
Chip-a-top-lay.
Chip-a-top-lay is the moral to the story. Chip-a-top-lay.
It's the moral to every story. Oh. It didn't take long for police to find clothing tycoon William Bianchi when he fled after crashing his car into a tree while drunk. For start, he was dressed as a Roman gladiator and was wearing black body paint. Huh? The fact that his hair was also badly singed also helped to identify him as the man who had just escaped a burning car. William Bianchi was found by police in the hospital with singed hair, looking like Wile E. Coyote. And just for measure, the friend who was with him was wearing a Superman outfit. Bianchi, 38, was tracked to a hospital in McKellisfield after the crash, which followed a fancy dress party. The officer said that his frazzled appearance reminded them of Wile E. Coyote. Oh, and they go on to explain that that happens to be a character from a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Oh, in case we're stupid?
Yeah, exactly. Bianchi was warned that he faced a jail sentence after being found guilty of drunk driving, failing to stop the scene of an accident, failing to report an accident, and careless driving. But wait. If he failed to stop at the scene of an accident, didn't he kind of stop whenever he was in the accident? Are they just looking for shit to charge him with?
He stopped. Maybe he was like, wait, he couldn't wait for help. He wanted to go to the hospital.
Oh, okay.
That's my excuse.
Why not?
Sounds good to me, man.
After the event last September, he drove off in a $60,000 Mercedes CLK Cabriolet and crashed it into the tree on the A-538 highway in Presbury around 5:30 p.m. So Granada. He was trapped inside the car. It caught fire, but taxi driver Kirsten Smith, 34, stopped to help. With other motorists, he managed to drag Bianchi to safety moments before the vehicle was engulfed in flames. He was put into the back of a minibus, driven away while Mr. Smith rang police. After a tip-off, officers found Bianchi waiting for treatment at the hospital. He was drunk, had a cut to his head, and singed hair. And I loved that he was dressed as a full Roman gladiator with breastplate, body armor, and skirt.
He's got to go!
So we're talking about Beyonce?
Yes, Beyonce.
Oh, okay. Love her
stuff. Yes, William Beyonce.
I got nothing.
All right, now this guy rocks. I mean, if you're going to get drunk and do something stupid, this is what you do.
Yeah.
A Boulder man was arrested early Thursday after police said he crashed a memorial service, grabbed the breast of the deceased woman's sister, and showed her mother pornographic pictures.
What?
Yes.
He had them on him?
This guy was on a roll. Marlos Hernandez, 31, faces possible charges of unlawful sexual contact, first-degree burglary, and harassment after police said he entered a memorial gathering in another unit of his apartment building that had started Wednesday evening and extended past midnight. When Hernandez upset the mother of the woman who recently died, other grieving guests became upset and a physical confrontation ensued outside the apartment complex. Hernandez was treated and released from the Boulder Community Hospital for a cut to the face. He was then taken to jail, where he remained Thursday on $20,000 bond. The deceased woman whose life was being celebrated Wednesday hasn't been identified. Her mother, who hosted the memorial gathering, told police she didn't know Hernandez but wasn't suspicious when he came into the house because lots of people she didn't know have paid their respects recently. Oh.
Okay.
Upon entering the apartment, Hernandez first went to the kitchen, put his arm around the deceased woman's teenage sister as if to comfort her, but the woman told officers it made her uncomfortable. Then he reached down and grabbed one of her breasts.
Whoa.
Happy Halloween, ladies.
That was him.
Wow.
The sister told police she didn't want to start a confrontation, so she left the kitchen. Hernandez then went near a display of pictures and memories of the deceased and pulled out a cell phone. She thought he was going to take a picture of the shrine with his cell phone, but he showed the mother a pornographic picture instead.
Hey, check this out. Wow.
Oh, man.
Get her drunk.
Then he upset the mother and her guests, who forced Hernandez outside and started fighting.
Who the hell was this guy?
Just a neighbor.
He was somebody having some fun.
He's having a good time, I guess. Hey, check out what I got on my cell phone, man. You ain't gonna believe this.
My brother emailed this to me on my phone.
Man, it's crazy, man. Check it out.
Look at this hot slice of scratch.
This is highly inappropriate.
All right, a teenager has been blamed under drunk driving laws despite the fact that he was not drunk or even in his car at the time of the crash. Daniel Barclay, 18, was banned for procuring a drunk teenager to drive. A student who was only charged after writing to the procreator fiscal... What? What? Writing to the procreator fiscal confession.
What the hell is going on?
These Australians don't know how to talk.
Excuse me, Jason.
He had his car driven and then crashed by a pal during a night out in Perth last year. The town sheriff court heard that James Martin, who was more than twice the drunk limit, had gone for a spin. He lost control and crashed a short time later.
Jason!
I'm right here. What?
All right, so this kid's friend drove his car and crashed it. The friend was drunk, and now the kid gets blamed for drunk driving, even though he wasn't drunk or even in the car. That seems like it's fair. I wonder what our callers think.
What is that guy's name, by the way?
Daniel Barclay?
I know that, dude.
Oh, nice. Do you really?
Hold on, we've got an emergency.
Everybody get back, we got a gas leak. No!
Oh my god. Well, everything's okay now.
Wow.
You never know when okay. Gas leak's just going to start, Bill. It's very, very...
Very, very scary over here.
Yeah, very.
It sounds it. I'm glad I'm not there. Do you guys want to move to DVDs or do some more news?
You betcha. We can do whatever you want, Bill. You want to do some DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs.
Before we go to DVDs, George Clooney has a story to tell us.
Oh, great.
Well, it was pretty. They had, hey, you want a party?
Chupa Table.
That was good stuff, man. Man, that guy can spin a yarn, huh?
Chupa Table.
All right, let's do it.
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, Ascendant Definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
I think it's very soigné.
Yes, it
yes,
is! Yes,
soigné.
First on our DVDs! All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs?
Jason! What's he doing?
Well,
Jason!
Jason!
I'm right here!
Jason!
Okay. Are you two done?
Yes.
All right. let's start out here.
Tighten that bad sucker's side of the runway like a mother.
Unbelievable. Jive talking bastards. All right. DVDs for April 8th, 2008. Big week for DVDs. Big week, and that means there's really nothing.
Yes.
The 11th Hour, another documentary about how our Earth is going to crap because we are dependent on fossil fuels and we're a bunch of lazy idiots. But it happens to be narrated by Leonardo DiCaprio.
All right.
To set up the natural cycle of life and death.
No, that's him
right
there.
Thank you, Garrett. Or was it? Yeah, that was his name on that show. I missed that. Oh, when is Kid Nation coming back?
Is it? Whatever happened to that show?
Damn it!
It needs to come back. All right, next DVD is The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, the 20th Anniversary Edition.
Hey, you know what? I like the movie. It's good stuff.
It'll be on DVD and Blu-ray.
Directed
or as
by
they
Terry
say,
Gilliam.
High-definition Blu-ray disc.
You know what? I bet that looks awesome in HD.
It all depends on what...
How the transfer looks?
Yeah, how transfer is.
Well, it's an incredible... It's a visual feast, as they say,
it
Steve.
It was.
You're the man now, dog.
It was. And ever... Was it since that film? When did Terry Gilliam actually lose his mind where he can't direct a movie?
Shortly anymore? After that one.
He's just insane. Steven,
I think
okay?
It was... Well, I would have said it was after 12 Monkeys, because I actually like 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, that's a very well-made, crazy flick. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know what you're saying. Do you know what you're saying?
I think I do.
Okay, you guys excellent. Are just so full of it's, like, amazing.
I know.
All right, next DVD, the absolute freaking bomb, Lions for Lambs, with Robert Redford, Meryl Streep, and Tom Crazy-Ass Cruise.
No! Why? What happened, Bill? What happened? Why was this such a bomb?
They tend to blame Tom Cruise, but it just didn't look any good. I know it was directed by Robert Redford. I don't really know anything else about it, but...
Antipsychotic drugs.
Jesus Christ. Was it reviewed well? Do you guys know? Can you look at Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes to see what the reviews on it were?
I just heard about it that it was...
It's rough and tumble. Yeah, it's wild and woolly, and it's a blast.
Okay, well, that's it. The people weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
They need to go through some auditing first.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And ride on the Free Winds, the Scientology cruise ship.
The Free Winds? What's that?
Yeah. Or Trade Winds. No, it was Free Winds, I think. They have their own cruise ship.
Really?
Yes, they do.
What do they do on the boat? Do they have
audit.
Richard Simmons on there?
I guess they have, like, super Scientological parties.
You're still pimping her.
Huh?
Yeah, they pimp it.
Who's pimping
I don't
her?
Know about pimping, but,
Lust. Yeah. I want you to be a dirty girl.
It's so weird to hear him tell a girl to be dirty when he just really wants a dirty man.
What he wanted to say was be a dirty
I want
girl.
A hairy bum.
He wanted to say, a dirty girl like me. Because he is a dirty girl, isn't he?
Pretty much.
I know he was in ton of George Michael videos.
He was?
Yeah, he was in those, and he was in Elton John videos.
What is that guy? What is his
Bruno
job?
Tonioli.
I mean, what is he?
He's a dancer choreographer guy.
Oh. She's not a zombie.
No, he's gay.
Yeah, he's...
He's blind. I mean, he's gay. I mean,
you've been rode hard. You will be put away wet.
What the hell is going on? I don't even know anymore.
I keep looking. Okay, I found it. Lions for Lambs, Rotten Tomatoes. It got, holy crap, 27% rotten.
Whoa.
Yowzes. That's rough.
Maybe that they just didn't get it. They didn't see what a genius flick it was.
Yeah.
Because
all right.
It's great.
Yeah, let's pass over that one. Reservation Road with Mira Sorvino, Jennifer Connelly, Mark Ruffalo, and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, I know what this was. This is the one where the guy, he is in a hit-and-run accident, he kills their son, and then he hides it, and he ends up being the... guy's therapist, of the poor parent. It just sounds so far-fetched and so depressing.
That does. That sounds like the House of Sand and Fog depressing.
Yeah. That was incredibly... if anyone's seen the House of Sand and Fog, you want to kill yourself.
Yes. Absolutely. It also got a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes, Reservation Road.
Wow.
Next DVD, Resurrecting the Champ, with Samuel L. Jackson and Josh Hartnett.
Calling me crap is the pot calling the kettle black.
It's about a sports writer played by Hartnett who wants nothing more than to discover a story great enough to make headlines. So when he meets Champ, a former boxing champion living on the streets, so his name just happens to be Champ.
Oh.
He's an idiot.
Champ, you're a champ, man. You were the champ, champ. Champ.
Say what?
So,
say what, Jack?
I guess, you know, they form a friendship and everything is wonderful, I assume.
Have you ever looked at pornography?
Yes.
Oh. What?
So I assume, I don't know much about it, but... It was directed by Rod Lurie, and I like most everything he's directed.
Did he direct Antitrust by any chance?
No, but he should have.
Oh, it would have been much better. Hey, how could that movie get any better? Seriously,
just because of the direction. The story was perfect.
Don't give him the stick.
I don't think so. I think it's perfect.
It actually got some good reviews. It's 61% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. So, There you go.
Hey, what
Mike,
is it with,
give it a rent.
By the way, what is with Samuel Jackson? Is he like, I'm going to have a different hairstyle every movie I'm in, and it's a ridiculous hairstyle. Have you noticed that?
I think that's very important.
Like in Jumper, he had this. So he has hair that calls attention to itself. I'm going to dye it white.
It's so he doesn't get typecast as the same.
Why not? Just shave your head. I mean, what? Why does he have white hair in Jumper? I mean,
are you sure that was his choice?
Yes.
All right. Who am I to question you on your expertise?
Hey, I did research on it, and I found that out.
Next DVD is a set. It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Season 6.
Yes, cowabunga, dude!
this was released in 1992. 16 episodes.
Jason sucks.
Hey, you know what? My daughter loves the Ninja Turtles, and I'll do impressions for her.
That's because your daughter rocks.
That thing look like your mom, dude! I'll say stuff like that. Cowabunga! But you know,
they're all the same impression.
Hey,
same turtle.
No, it's not. What are you saying, Steven, about my impression?
Jason sucks.
Hey, that's it.
Well, I'm just saying you do
I'm
one turtle.
I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Jason.
All right.
What's he doing? Jason.
I'm leaving. That's what I'm doing.
Jason.
And all right, back.
Next DVD. There Steve. Will be blood. 2-disc collector's edition.
Ooh, there is be blood.
Yes, probably, definitely one of my favorite movies from last year.
I can't wait to see it, man. That's the one film I didn't get to see in time for the Oscars. It'll definitely be on my list of rentals and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It looks good.
Just an absolutely gorgeous movie and incredibly well written.
And by the way, the line about the milkshake will completely pull me out of the film because I've just heard it so much.
Yeah.
Is that
but
a shame,
it,
though,
it
Bill?
Is. What?
Think about the context of that. I don't know what it is, but in the scene, the milkshake scene, the yes. fact that that'll pull me out of the movie, is that just a big shame? Well,
and the fact that it's the last scene of the movie, it's the penultimate scene.
So I'm going to be waiting for it the whole movie, and then I'm going to be like, whoa, what?
Well, it
it's,
pull it,
you know what? It's going to spoil the ending for you because it's going to pull you right out of it.
Oh, so you're telling me don't ever see it, or...
No, see it, but be prepared to, you know, giggle and then go, oh, shit.
Giggle?
Because even I giggled when I heard it the first... I was like, oh, hee-hee-hee.
So, okay,
and then I thought, I wanted to know what it was, you know, and
right,
it came from someone actual said it. Somebody
so
actually said
basically
it.
Basically, what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit through this movie, incredible performance, incredible direction, art direction, all of this, and then coming to the very end, he says that line, and it's just going to be...
Right. Yep. So what do you want now?
That's exactly right.
Wow. I don't know if
you
I
can blame
watch.
SNL and all their dumb shit.
I guess I can't go see it.
That stupid I drink your milkshake bit with Bill Hader.
Funny!
I do think that guy is hilarious and super bad, though.
Yes. All right. So this 2-disc special edition, I'm kind of pissed off. Because you know what? Yeah, Toshiba gave up on HD DVD. But
you gotta know a guy named
why couldn't the studios release their slate of HD DVDs? There Will Be Blood was one of them. They canceled it. Now we only get it on standard DVD, and God knows whenever they're going to start releasing the Blu-rays.
Oh, it's not coming out on Blu-ray? Crap.
No, it's not coming out on Blu-ray. It's not coming out on HD DVD. It's just standard def.
Oh, bummer.
So, this entire debacle is pissing me off.
So the first time we see this film on HD will most likely be what, like...
A year from now.
HBO or something?
I don't doubt that. I really don't doubt that.
I hope it doesn't take that long, because you would think it's the film won awards and stuff, that they'll want to get it out in HD.
Pisses me off the most is it was already scheduled to be released. It would have came out this coming week on HD DVD by Paramount. They probably already had all the discs pressed and ready to go, but they decided for some reason that they wouldn't sell and scrapped them.
Maybe, you know what, didn't that happen with the B-movie?
It did.
Will you find this on eBay for like $500 or something?
I don't know. It all depends on
if anyone.
You know, they handle these things pretty securely. But what interests me are the specials. Of course, it's got pics, research, making of, trailers, all kinds of different sequences, different scenes that Paul Thomas Anderson cut.
I wonder if Paul Thomas Anderson got the HD DVD, though. Like, hey, I'm the director. Give me a copy now.
I don't doubt that. I really don't doubt that.
I directed Magnolia.
It's got a bunch of dailies on it, and it's got a short film from 1923, a black and white silent film chronicling the oil business in the 1920s called The Story of Petroleum. So that's a pretty cool little extra there.
Chipotle.
Absolutely.
Totally chipotle. That's
chipotle on the top.
I'm very interested in seeing this film. I'm definitely going to put it on my Netflix.
Yeah, it's a very good film. Next DVD is Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story.
Huh? Anybody see it? I haven't
yet, but I plan on it. I have it on my Netflix queue. It also gets released on Blu-ray, so. And this is the first disc to take advantage of this new Blu-ray disc live feature, which goes online, something that HD DVD has done since the beginning.
Now, what is it it's supposed to do exactly?
You put the disc in, you can go online, and you can download these featurettes that are all about Dewey Cox.
Why do I want to do that?
Yeah, exactly. Why not just put the extras on the disc?
We are holding Jesus ransom until you clean up the poopy from your wieners, and trust us, we see you take your wieners for long walks without picking up their poopy in our yards.
What?
I don't know.
Is that for Dewey Cox?
I think that's a scene you can get online.
Oh, okay.
Hey, do you get a digital copy of this, by the way? For your PSP or something?
You know what? I'm not sure. I bet you they're starting to do that now, so...
Why do I want to connect my anything to the internet to see clips? I don't give a shit. I just want to watch the movie.
I know. It's very stupid. It's very stupid. And I hear it works horribly.
Okay, excuse me. I've actually had enough, all right?
Yeah, just get the Blu-ray right for now, and then...
I mean, I can understand how it's cool. Like, hey, we're going to... Because HD DVD, they were always talking about the extra features. Honestly, I don't really care about that stuff.
No, I don't. If anything, there was a feature on the one of the Harry Potter HD DVDs that you could sync up the DVD, the HD DVD, with someone else with the HD DVD and watch it together at the same time in different locations.
We should have done that, Bill. Would have been great.
Well, that'd been great for doing our. You could do. We could do our commentary.
No! Spit it out, Steven!
We could do a commentary with Bill.
Yeah, but we don't want to do it with Harry Potter. We want to do it with Death Wish 3.
I understand.
Where's our Death Wish 3 on HD, damn it?
That's what I'm saying. If they get them all done that way, we can do that with Bill.
I gotcha.
By next year this time, we will have a Death Wish 3 commentary out.
Yes, we will.
Wait all right, minute.
So the extras on this thing are actually pretty cool.
Okay.
They've got commentary with Jake Kasdan, Judd Apatow, John C. Reilly.
Apatow.
Now, the second disc has all kinds of making ofs, outtakes, commercials they did for the movie, for in the movie, where I guess he was like Jimmy Dean sausage. There's now Cox sausage commercials. Get it, cock sausage. So, there you go.
Yeah.
I know, it's
bad.
Hey,
did anybody see Superhero Movie?
All right, next DVD, and sadly the last DVD. We'll have 15 minutes to fill up here. The Water Horse.
Glass half empty.
Yeah. Come on, it's half full, Bill.
Well, we always do it.
We're
so
gonna fill it to the
brim, no
baby. You know what? But you know what? Unfortunately, I have to leave, guys. Bye. See ya. I just get.
Come back here.
What's he doing, Jason? Jason! Jason!
All right, I'm back. Okay,
I lost count on how many times we've played that clip.
I do know how many.
He finally found one with Jason in it.
Yeah, so now it won't stop. He's like, now it's more than just the Lila Garrity one.
Huh?
Steve.
Yes.
All right, the Water Horse, Legend of the Deep, Special Edition.
I saw this in the theater. Genius flick, huh?
It's a good flick.
So, a lonely young boy named Angus discovers a large, mysterious egg, shores a Loch Ness. What do you think it is? Well, it's a Loch Ness monster. Whoopity-doo.
You know what? I think you're underselling it, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Really? You think?
It's a bombastic thing, you know? It's got all sorts of loud sounds and stuff, and it'll give you a headache. But other than that, it's cute. I think the effects are flawed. The part where the little kid's riding on the creature underwater look really bad. I mean, didn't you think he's like holding on to some kind of blue screen like carpet or something? And they're like,
yeah, I've seen that on the commercials, and it's like, wow.
It's just kind of like, whoa.
Of all the things to show on a commercial, you're going to show the worst CGI possible?
When the thing is a little creature, it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, all growing up, when it's growing up. And
the part in the flick where they show, they start shooting artillery at it, all of a sudden the soundtrack comes alive. It's awesome, like bass.
They're
and stuff,
shooting though. Artillery at it?
Yeah, because they think it's a German U-boat. So, I mean, hey, it is shaped about the same, right, Steven? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to recommend this.
The head looks like a periscope, yeah.
You definitely, anybody has children, I'd say maybe over the age of 5, maybe. There's some parts where it might scare you a little bit.
Yeah, 5.
There's nothing wrong with being. See, I always hear parents say stuff like, I don't want it to scare them. What's wrong with getting scared, man? My parents took me to see The Exorcist, right? I've been scarred for life, but it helped me
through
life.
Are you serious?
Come on, I saw.
I saw Alien in the theater as a little kid.
I was what?
Wait a minute.
Say 9? Maybe 9?
When I was a little kid, I first thought. When I first saw Star Trek, it scared the living shit out of me.
Star Trek?
Or, I'm sorry, Star Wars.
Star
Trek.
Wars? That
yes,
doesn't make
Verger.
Any...
Verger scared the living shit out of me. Or Viger.
Why?
Yeah.
What in Star Wars scared you?
You know what it was? The scene that, well, Darth Vader, first off. but second, the scene in the trash compactor, I think, like, I was, like, I don't know. As a kid, maybe I was claustrophobic or something, and that scene just... And plus, the thing in there, the pulls Luke under, and
see,
it's got
what,
the...
You should have been desensitized first. Your parents show you Alien first, then show you Star Wars. You wouldn't have been scared.
I know. You're right.
Tip a tablet.
I just got a message from your wife, Jason.
Yeah?
Yeah, she says the DVD player is not working at your in-laws. It's not playing sound, and the kids want to watch Barbie Mariposa on DVD.
Oh, no. What should we do? I think that she should try the one in the living room, then.
There you go.
I'm assuming the one in the bedroom is the one not working. So go ahead and pass that on to her, Heather, if you're listening.
I'm sure she's getting the message here in about 40 seconds.
What we should do is do call-ins where I answer tech problems, tech. Like DVD.
Yeah, call for help. Maybe Mr. Justin or Corey can call in and ask us how to fix their computer, or...
See, I couldn't answer that question. You know what I'm saying?
Between me, you, and Bill, we probably could.
Could you answer?
Well, Steven's a know-it-all.
Yeah, Steven.
I think
what's
Bill
going on?
Probably knows a little more.
Say, defrag that hard drive and then try it. I got
that's the default answer for all computer
defrag
problems.
Defrag it, reboot it.
Defrag it.
Do you guys ever wonder what Vanessa's doing? Like, is she ever coming back to the show?
I thought we were going to look for a new news girl.
Oh, yeah?
I think we're going to initiate that search sooner or later.
Let's see if Vanessa...
We don't have many female listeners. We're kind of like a sausage
fest.
Yes, we
do. We have plenty of female listeners. All right, let's just see.
Hey, I'm not available right now to take your call. Just leave your name and number and a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
She's doing that, her, like, voice.
Yep. The sexy news reading voice.
This is Vanessa. This is why she's not on the show, because they can't get a hold of her. It's always the voicemail. What's going on?
She's ignoring us.
Wow. I'm hurt. I'm out of here. Bye, guys.
Come on, play the game.
Jason! What's he doing?
No, Jason! Don't play it again!
Jason!
I'm going to come over to your house and delete that file.
Chip a tablet.
Bill, why don't you need it?
That one can stay.
Foggy, play my favorite clip for Bill. Where is it?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
No. Well, there's no follow-up. That kind of sucks. So what do we have on TV next week?
Billy.
Well, we're going to talk about Battlestar Galactica, the premiere, and more Hell's Kitchen. Now, Bill, you got any more DVDs?
No, I don't. Those are all the DVDs.
All right, Bill.
About some cult news or anything.
Well, let me wrap up the DVDs. Thanks, Bill, for doing the DVDs, and I can't wait to purchase the Milkshake movie. I'm going to be really upset if it's not about milkshakes, by the way. No comment from Bill.
I ain't saying
Thank
a word.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Ah, I love that jazz music, don't you guys?
It's really cool.
Thanks, everybody. That was episode 118 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to call and leave a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You'll find links to Mulberry Old School and the forum. Steven, you've been posting a lot in the forum, a lot of incredible posts there. Have you read those, Bill? Funny stuff.
I have. Those are terrific.
Yeah. No, I'm being sarcastic, Steven. What's going on?
How many posts has he made? Three?
Three or four, yeah.
Two. I'm going to say two.
Dude, he doesn't want to overextend himself.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, I don't start threads. What's great, here's what I love about when we
I
post
look for something
show.
That I can comment on, and a lot of times I'm just like, okay, everybody said something.
Hey,
I don't
just comment on the episode. Hey, this was a delight to sit to Jason's left and comment on things. I really like that part when Bill said this. No, I'm kidding. You don't have to say that, but it's great.
No, I never say anything that he likes.
That's not true, is it, Steven?
I don't know.
See?
What?
No comment. See?
What do you mean?
Steven sucks.
Oh, my God.
Steve. On what each other like?
We've hit a weird spot. Now, we have plenty of time to talk to anyone who'd like to call at 818-935-5132. What's, Bill?
No one's listening.
Come on,
no one's calling.
Bill, there are people listening. You can't say that.
Why is it that we do this live again?
We're a live show.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I have an idea. We're going to call. We're not going to wait for somebody to call us. We're going to call somebody, okay?
Who are you calling?
Just wait. We'll see.
We're going to start prank calling.
No, I'm not prank calling or anything. Just hold on. Let's see if anyone answers.
We're the Crazy Joe Show.
Are we calling truckers?
I can't call my cell phone.
This is why you don't...
Hello?
Hey, Dad, it's me, Jason. Are you still at work?
No, I just got off. I'm at Starbucks.
Oh, Starbucks. That sounds trendy.
It is.
Dad, know he's on the air.
Yeah, hey, Dad, you're on the air right now. Nowhere in Mulberry.
Well, hi there. How you doing?
Fantastic. Well, we're killing clock right now, so I wanted to see what you were up to.
What, are you asking questions of the public in general?
Yes.
And the question is?
What do you think of the state of film music today? You think it's declined since the, say, 70s or even the 80s?
Well, I'd be happy to answer that question. I think because the producers and the directors won't allow the composers to use melody, identifiable themes anymore. The state of film music has just become wallpaper.
Now, why would they want that in their movies? Why wouldn't they want something with a memorable theme?
Because the studios and the directors are so insecure that they're going to be called manipulative if they make somebody feel something. that, and they also want to share the success of their movie with a great theme. Like when you think of Dr. Zhivago or Gone with the Wind, you always think about the grand music, and so you're splitting credit for what makes it great.
They don't want a memorable soundtrack?
They're afraid of it. They want to be able to use songs. They want to pick and choose songs. That way it's their selection. They have control over manipulating you because they selected the song.
I believe it was Hans Zimmer was recently quoted as saying the state of film music right now is crap. It just
It really is crap. I haven't heard a memorable score in so long.
What about everything John Williams does?
You know something? His themes have gotten more and more kind of background and unmemorable. You can't whistle or hum them. Like Star Wars, everybody can hum that, but, I mean, how many people can hum Harry Potter?
Bum, 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 bum. I can't whistle it.
I hum Duel of the Fates all the time.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess I see what you mean. Now, have you seen the movie Once?
I've seen it twice.
Where's
the rim shot?
No rim shots on this show. All we have is this.
Chipotle.
No, I haven't seen once. Who's the director?
I have no idea, but it's a fantastic film.
I haven't seen it.
I don't know if you'll like it, but it's about a musician in Ireland, a working class guy. It was made for $100,000, and it's an incredible film. I think you should see it.
Okay, I'll run right out now. Where's it playing? Before I go home, I'll go see it.
Now, what movie did you see this week? Because I know you see a movie every week, Dad.
Actually, I'm waiting for Iron Man.
Yeah.
I'm really stoked about that.
Really?
I can't tell you how excited I am about that.
Well, what makes you excited about it?
I'll tell you what, because when I was a kid, I was obsessed with a series that was called Commander Cody.
Right.
And the Lost Planet Airman, and he had a jetpack on his back. And I used to build myself a little fake jetpack, and I would run through the yard going...
Nice.
Cool.
And it just looks really cool. I haven't seen a special effects movie that made me think, wow, I got to see that, like Iron Man. It just looks really, really like it's going to be great. I thought that about Jumper, and I was dead wrong.
Well, the scenes where Iron Man's flying and they show the two jets, that looks really badass.
Oh, man, yeah, you're telling me.
And the scene
well,
where
the source...
Go ahead.
The source material of Iron Man is just better than most comics, really. Like the whole backstory of Tony Stark. So, and it looks like Jon Favreau is a true fan of it, and he's becoming a better and better director.
Well, you know, I think it's become evident finally that if you get a director who really has a love for the project, they are a fan of what they're making, a la, say, King Kong or Lord of the Rings. You get a much better movie.
Right.
Because you remember when they, let's take a really bad example. When they made the movie The Legend of the Lone Ranger in about 1978.
Which came out on DVD last week, by the way.
They didn't care about the fan base. Clayton Moore, who played the Lone Ranger, wanted to have a small part at the beginning where he turns his mask, his silver bullets and gun, over to the new guy. And kind of, you know, a passing of the tradition.
The torch.
They wouldn't have anything to do with it.
The studio wouldn't have anything to do with it.
And the Rather Corporation sued Clayton Moore in court because he would always wear his mask wherever he went. And they sued him so he could never wear the mask again. So he had special sunglasses made that looked like a mask.
Yeah, I remember that. That was ridiculous.
But see, that was utter contempt for fans, for, 50 years of fans, radio and TV.
They
just spit in their eye.
And isn't it true no one saw the movie when it came out?
Well, unfortunately, I did.
I know why you saw it, because of who did the film music, right? The score to the...
Exactly, John Barry, right.
So, and John Barry, he always has memorable
themes. He has memorable themes. In fact, the reason why he doesn't score films anymore is he gets asked, but
they want to tell him what to do. And here's a guy who has 4 Academy Awards. He has every award there is. He's had a successful career. He's an expert. He knows what he's doing. And they try to tell him what to do, like with The Incredibles. They told him they wanted a score exactly like on Their Majesty's Secret Service, which is the music they were using in the trailers.
Right.
And he said, I've already done that film. Why don't you let me do music for this film? And they wanted to control him, so he said, I'm dropping out.
Wow.
Wow.
That sucks. But it has a good score by Michael Giacchino. Giacchino? How do you say his name, Dad?
Giacchino.
Giacchino?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think those guys that made that movie, you know, they really loved his work, and they wanted him to be, you know, to kind of reiterate the work he did to introduce it to other people, maybe. And he's just, I mean, I can understand his stubbornness. I wouldn't want to be someone who remade stuff I already did.
Exactly. That's why with the Bond movies, he wanted to make each score different from the preceding one. And he wanted to use, new themes. And it finally got to where Cubby Broccoli and Barbara Broccoli, the daughter, were wanting outside songwriters to come in and write a song, and then he do the score. But when John Barry does the score, he writes the song, and he makes the score from the themes in the song. So, in other words, everything goes together. And they wanted to bring in somebody outside to have this theme and then him do a separate thing. And that's not how he does it.
Well, Dad, thank you for helping us kill Clock on the show. You finally appeared.
Clock killer.
Yes. You finally appeared on Nowhere Mulberry.
Clock killer.
Thank you, Dad, for joining us. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. It was a pleasure to be on the show. Keep up the good work.
Talk to you later, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, that was nice. Dad was on the show, and it's time for us to go. Hey, bye, everybody.
Lust. I want you to be a dirty girl.
Huh? Steven, you be a dirty girl.
I will.
Huh?
What?
I was wrong.
That's disgusting.
Can't wait to see Iron Man. Is that gay, Bill?
No.
It was pretty. They had, hey, you want a party?
Now this is podcasting.
All right, that's it. I'm out.
No. Jason! What's he doing? Jason! 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 Jason!